How are the solas of the Lutheran Reformation God's gift to all Christians? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is titled Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. You can read an excerpt and purchase Grace, Faith, Scripture at IssuesETC.org. Be sure to request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick.
This man, Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel, a scholar, a Pharisee, he knows his stuff. He comes to Jesus by night. He has a question. He just doesn't know what Jesus is about. He does know, he admits, we know you must be from God, for no one could do the things you do unless he were sent from God. But what is this message that Jesus is bringing? And what is Nicodemus to do with things like, you must be born again, you must be born of water and the Spirit? What does Nicodemus understand or misunderstand that Jesus needs to correct? Eventually, we know that Nicodemus does actually believe in Jesus. So whatever Jesus said eventually took root and created faith in this Pharisee. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's time for us to teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. We'll be talking about Jesus' teaching with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
We're going to talk about being born again, which is what Jesus describes. Do Lutherans believe that we must be born again?
Lutherans believe what God says is necessary. And Jesus, being God, makes it very clear in verse 3. Truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So therefore, God considers that it is necessary to be born again. But when you say it in that way, a lot of people could have the same error in their minds that Nicodemus had, as he says to Jesus, does that mean that I need to enter a second time into my mother's womb and be born? And so it's very important that we examine specifically what these words mean, namely to be born again.
What's the occasion for Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night?
The occasion is Jesus had done quite a few miracles, and of course people are questioning, who is this man? And Nicodemus comes at night because he is not only a Pharisee, but he is a member of what we call a Sanhedrin, which is the Supreme Court of Judaism. That's the folks who decree that Jesus should be crucified and went to Pontius Pilate. Why did he come at night? Well, he was still unsure, and I go to another portion of the gospel according to John, John chapter 9, about a man born blind, and Jesus heals him. The Pharisees really want to know whether he really was blind, and so they go to his parents, and they say, well, we don't know how his eyes were open. Ask him, he is of age. Then John, and this is verse 22 of John chapter 9, explains, his parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. It's kind of a form of excommunication. The original means ekbalo, to be thrown out, and that's what happened to the blind man. So imagine, Nicodemus knows all these rules. He's not going to come in the light of the day to see Jesus and have a conversation with him, lest he find that he himself is going to be thrown out of the synagogue. And so that's the reason he comes, and he does know that you must be a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs unless God is with him. Now, notice that the signs themselves for an unbeliever do not prove to the unbeliever that Jesus himself is God. The signs are primarily for believers who are looking for the Messiah, and Jesus fulfills these signs. But remember, one of the signs he did was raising Lazarus from the dead. The Pharisees did believe that he rose Lazarus from the dead, but they did not then go to the conclusion that he must be God. Instead, they thought he was working with the devil Beelzebub. And so when Nicodemus meets with Jesus, though he doesn't begin with a question and says, in a sense, you must be coming from God because of your signs, Jesus gets right to the matter when he says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says, well, how is that possible? Does he have to go a second time into his mother's womb? And Jesus, being the primary teacher of Christianity, then goes ahead and explains what he means by being born again.
What does he, before we get to that, what does he mean by the kingdom of God?
Yes. One could say that when Abraham believed, he was a member of the kingdom of God. But last week, we just had the celebration of Pentecost. And I heard a number of preachers speak about that as the birth of the Christian church. There's something about the kingdom of God that one enters into that is not possible to be entered into just through faith in the coming Messiah, like Abraham had. And one of the items is what Peter himself says at the Pentecost sermon. Yes, you'll receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins, but that was also available outside of this Pentecost water baptism. But he said, you also will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's very important to understand that the gift of the Holy Spirit means that your body will become the temple of the Holy Spirit. No longer will you need to go somewhere to the temple. This is, by the way, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. Paul says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. So we believe, teach, and confess that nobody can come to faith except by the Holy Spirit. If you take a look at the third article, Luther's meaning, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me with the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Therefore, all the Old Testament believers were moved to believe the gospel promises of about a coming Messiah who will bring the forgiveness of sins, because the Holy Spirit moved them to believe, gave them that faith. But on Pentecost, there was additional gift that their bodies now became the temple of the Holy Spirit. So one has to kind of understand there's a kingdom of God that Abraham was part of. There's a kingdom of God that Christians are part of. There's a kingdom of God that those who have died are part of. We call that the interim. And then the final kingdom of God after the day of judgment will occur when we will be in heaven in body and spirit eternally with Jesus Christ. That kingdom of God is yet to come.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21, the account of Jesus teaching Nicodemus. We'll get into the other things that Nicodemus needs to learn on the other side of the break. It also includes the famous words of John 3:16, but maybe it'd be helpful to put those words in their larger context, as that verse is often taken out of context. Stay tuned. Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Emmanuel Press is a Lutheran-owned business in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in operation since 2004. That's 15 years of publishing liturgical and devotional books, 15 years of collaborating with Lutheran authors, artists, and translators. Thanks to our loyal customers and Issues Etc., we look forward to many more years of confessing and teaching the Christian faith. Visit us online at emmanuelpress.us, E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L, press.us.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus teaching Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Are you thinking about getting a home improvement, car, or student loan this summer? Check out Lutheran Federal Credit Union at lutheranfcu.org. During June, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give the same amount of money to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more at lutheranfcu.org. Tom, there are a lot of concepts flying around in John chapter 3, and I notice a lot of similarity between John chapter 3 and the prologue of John's gospel. There's light and darkness, there's judgment, there are people who believe and are delivered, there are people who do not believe and are condemned. Why does Jesus throw so much at this poor old man, Nicodemus, all at once?
Because Nicodemus is to be a teacher of the word, and even Jesus says, and you do not understand what I am speaking of. Jesus does this in order to help explain. For example, when he says you must be born again, although that's a lot of the English translations, a closer look at the Greek there means you must be born from above. And the Concordia Publishing House material does a great job in making the point that Jesus is not talking about a physical rebirth, but a spiritual rebirth. And I would go to John chapter 1 that you were talking about, where once more he makes very clear, verse 12 and 13, to all who did receive Jesus, who believed in his name, he became the right to become children of God who were born. Now listen how they were not born. Not of blood. That means not begotten. Nor of the will of the flesh. Therefore, it wasn't because they wanted to be a part of the kingdom of God, nor of the will of man. That's that tremendous book, Bondage of the Will, that Luther wrote, showing that we as unbelievers do not have free will in spiritual matters. And he finally says they became children of God by the will of God. And so we see here that at Pentecost last week, when the people realized they killed the Messiah, they asked Peter what they would do. And he tells them something they're not going to be able to do. He says, be baptized, and it's a passive. Well, what does that mean? It means that, like some Christians believe today, baptism is not something you do. It's really something that God does to you. The work of God. So when I, as a pastor, apply water to an infant, I say, I baptize you into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't have any power to do any of that, but I'm being used as God's voice to do that. And that's what Jesus is talking about, that one needs to be born of God, not of your so-called free will.
That verse, John 3:16, is often quoted out of context, and I don't mean to say that it's being misapplied when it's quoted, but it's simply the greater context is often never in view. But the context really makes the verse not only the gospel in the nutshell, as it often is observed to be, but really shows it to be far richer than people assume it is.
Yes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Often on my radio program, I make the point that every theological verse in the Bible can be understood in one of two ways, the right way and the wrong way. And here is the wrong way in which John 3:16 is appreciated by some people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Okay, that was his part in taking Jesus to the cross. But then, whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That work of faith is my decision. And they totally misunderstand that it is impossible for an unbeliever to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. He's an unbeliever. What needs to happen is what David says in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Also, this idea that God so loved, you need to go to the Greek again, and the word is different in the meaning of that he loved us this much. That's not what this is saying. Rather, the proper Greek word used here means that he loved us in this manner or after this way, so that it's not talking about the volume of love, but his attitude of love toward us who are sinners, willing to even have his only begotten be put to death for our sakes.
He says these words, Tom, and I like your thoughts on them, because it's often there, that 17th verse, where Jesus says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. What is Jesus saying there?
He's saying that a lot of people have the impression that Jesus, when he's going to be our judge, is going to condemn us for our sin. Nobody is going to hell because of individual sins they have done. They're going to hell because of a lack of faith in what Jesus Christ has done. So he came into the world not to condemn the world, but in order that through his sacrifice on the cross, those who believe, and that's the next verse, whoever believes in him is not condemned. You cannot find that anywhere in any other religion of the world, that one is saved through faith, that is belief in a promise. Every other religion in the world, you are saved through your obedience, your change of life. But no, in Christianity, whoever believes in him is not condemned. But who does not believe in the name of the only Son of God, that person is condemned. So it's really an importance to understand the gospel in a nutshell, that it all focuses on Jesus Christ. And to be born again, which Lutherans teach, simply means to be born from above by God's will, not by our will or our choice or our prayer to invite him into the heart. But it is a wonderful act on God's part of grace, giving us what we do not deserve.
And finally, with about 30 seconds, the simple law and gospel for the Sunday school children.
The simple law and gospel is frankly that, boy, under the law, I am not righteous in my sight. I see so many sins. But then I remember the gospel, and I am declared righteous in God's sight in the same way that Jesus was regarded as a sinner in God's sight. In other words, Jesus never sinned, but he became sin for us that he might die for our sins. I have never done a totally righteous, sinless good work, but God declares me to be righteous through faith in Jesus Christ.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We'll post a link to it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk to Kristen Day of Democrats for Life about presidential candidate Joe Biden's reversal on federal funding for abortion, and we'll discuss the teachings and practices of the Black Hebrew Israelite movement with Professor Jimmy Buds. Jesus himself says it. I was not sent into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through me. He has come as Savior. The condemnation is already in place. It is already there. He says those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in this Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus comes to save you and me and all from that condemnation that rests upon us. And he's done it by his death for us and his resurrection. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
If you appreciate Issues Etc., talk radio for the thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.